First, I want to clarify on the title. The title does not mean to imply in any way, shape, or form that it was the Erev crew's fault, that the Erev is down. that means that there are many types of circumstances which are beyond the control of the people who check the Erev, which do it with tremendous mesiras nefesh. I've been zeichet to be with them a few times with some really crazy scenarios which we had to deal with. Some of which I won't tell my wife what we did. And coming back 15 minutes right before Shabbos, you know, it's a crazy scenario. They really there aren't much endeavors to make it happen. Our scenarios where it's not possible. So let's go through some of the issues. Some of them I'm just going to touch on very briefly. Some we'll talk about more extensively. So there's a halacha that a person who is the Chazal instituted called checking your pockets. That before Shabbos, a person has a chiyuv to check their pockets, make sure that there's nothing in their pockets. This way they will not walk out inadvertently and carry something. So actually, there's a Magen Avraham which says that a person should do that even in a case where the Erev is up, because there might be mux in your pocket. So that's really a lot of checking really applies even in a situation where there is an Erev, a person should be checking. However, what is interesting, the Shulchan Aruch says that the idea is we don't want you carrying out inadvertently, so you check your pockets. That also means you can't put anything in your pockets the whole Shabbos, because otherwise you're back to square one. You have something in your pocket which you might carry out inadvertently. So the chiyuv of checking your pockets also means you can't put anything in your pockets. And the Shabbos with the Erev is down, you cannot put things in your pocket. Yes?
I definitely keep gloves in my pocket in the winter because I sometimes use them, sometimes don't. Is that a problem to have them in my pocket? I mean, even if the Erev is not there, it's not. If I'm checking my pockets, am I allowed to leave things in the pocket knowing that if
the Erev is up...
I wear them. They're for
wearing. Right. If the Erev is up, so then there's no problem carrying. The problem is muksa. So you check, there's no muksa, so you can keep things in your pocket. Right? But in the case of the Erev is down, and there's a concern of carrying, so the Shulchan Aruch says that that the same way you have to check, you also have a chiyuv not to put anything in. Now, there are poskim which are matter on it, but the Rishon Zalman Zatzal passed in the Chumrah, and it's something which a person should try and be careful with. If it's a garment which you would not wear outside, it's a robe which you wouldn't be caught dead outside in your robe, right? So you can put it in your pocket if there's pockets in the robe, right? Because it's something you wouldn't walk out with. If it's something you would walk out with, you have the same concern.
So that's all you're saying, all your clothes.
Any clothes that you're wearing.
I understand it has to have pockets in order to check it. I'm not checking all my clothes to throw in a pocket.
Right, I'm saying, you know, if I happen to own, you know, three coats, you know, so theoretically, if I might use any of them on Shabbos, really I should check them beforehand.
Okay, so it's only things that, like, okay.
But it's the only thing which potentially you're going to be using, right? So that if I have...
But checking the pockets doesn't mean they have to be empty. It just means you're going to look what's in there to see what's there.
Well, again, if the Erev is down, you can't have anything in your pocket.
I'm not saying with my gloves. So, like, I would wear them. I keep them in a pocket to wear them. So they would be worn.
Would you always be careful to put them on before you walk outside if you're wearing them?
Theoretically, that's the plan.
Okay, so that's mutter, right? Something which is there would be to put them on beforehand, so that would be mutter. Okay, that's number one. So that's a little, it's an interesting twist in the law of checking pockets, which people are not familiar with. Again, there are some opinions that say that it's makel, but the poskim seem to pass in halacha l'maisa. The Shemeshav's Gilch is a pass, and the l'maisa is that we should be machmer on that. The Reuven Katzeres, I just want to point out that when we use the word Erev, that's really it's a misnomer. What we call the Erev, and the halacha is referred to as a mechitza, it's an enclosure. The word Erev is what is the process which is done to create an idea of unification of the community as one. And that's done here in the community. It's done once a year, right after Pesach, or right before Pesach. They put a box of matzahs, and they make that box of matzahs is owned by everybody in the community, and that's stored in Shomrei Emunah. And theoretically, it belongs to the community. If somebody would need to use it, they can use it. Rabbeinu always says of a story that one Shabbos, he and his wife were locked out, and he had the key to the shul, and they went to the shul, and they had the matzahs, and that was their Shabbos suit, and they slept in the shul that Friday night, because it belongs to the community. And they had to replace it, obviously, before next Shabbos, they had to replace it. And without that, it's not mutter to carry. So even if I have a valid halachic enclosure, if I don't have everybody being one unit, so Chazal came along and said, here's the catch. In people's minds, there's the private domain and a public domain. So public domain in halacha has very specific criteria, what's called rishus harabin. In people's mind, a communal area is a public domain. So if I'm allowed to carry from my private house to the public domain, so next thing I know, I'll be carrying from my private house to a true halachically public domain. So Chazal said you can't do that unless we make you all big, one big unit. So that's like one big happy family. So we look at ourselves as we're a private area in a certain sense. So you have to be communalized. The communists got it from somewhere. So to do that, there's a process which has to be done, and there's halacha how to do it, etc. So just because you're living in, let's say, an apartment building or a condominium building, etc., or an enclosed courtyard area, doesn't mean you can carry there. Well, I have a city Eruv. The city Eruv HaChatzeris, city Eruv HaChatzeris is no longer valid Eruv HaChatzeris, because for the Shabbos, this whole big unit is not really one. It's not. I need to be one, this small unit called my apartment building. So the fact that over there in the shul, everybody's one, doesn't help me for my apartment building. So there has to be a Eruv HaChatzeris available, set up for the individual situation. So now Rabbi Anner Rosenthal held an apartment building does not need an Eruv HaChatzeris, a condominium does. And in both university towers, there is an Eruv HaChatzeris set up for such a scenario. But it is relevant for you if you decide to have a great idea, you have your back door, your backyard neighbor, why don't the two of you just make an Eruv HaChatzeris between the two backyards? And we'll make, you know, allow us to carry from one backyard to the other. There are limitations when that's permitted, and you would have to make a Eruv HaChatzeris. Besides just working about your enclosure issue, you would have to make a Eruv HaChatzeris. So you should ask a halachically commented authority at that point in time what to do. That being said, if you want to make what's called an Eruv, the colloquial Eruv, which we're referring the enclosure, the Tzuras HaPesach, there is on the Shomrei website, there is a pamphlet put together by the Silver Spring Arab Association, and there's a link there on the Shomrei website under ysi.org/Arab, and there's a pamphlet of how to do it. Okay, number three, a very common question which comes up is, so I have a fence on my backyard, I have a fence on my front yard, I have my front porch, am I allowed to carry my front porch? What are you allowed to do in those type of situations? What's considered a halachically acceptable fence? What about the halacha of a front porch? So I want to touch those two things. Those are common questions which come up. So for a fence to be valid, it has to be 10 tefachim high. Since we're dealing with in this area the rabbinic calculation, we could assume that's 30 inches. So the average fence is 30 inches high. That's probably okay. Let's say there's a gap in the fence. There's some point, you know, the fence doesn't go all the way around. There's one side, there's an opening. So an opening is acceptable, as long as it's not wider than about 15 feet, as long as the majority of that wall is enclosed. So if I have over here, this side over here, there's an opening in the middle. As long as the majority of either side is greater than the middle, I'm okay. Even if it's 4 feet wide. If the opening is in the corner, it's not acceptable. You'd have to close that off. So that's something which we can't have it in the corner. If it's a regular chain link fence, you know, so that's fine. Let's say it's just like a slats going across. So there is going to be, you'd have to ask a question at a point in time. There's a gap between the slats. If they're too large, you have a problem. If it's larger than what's called lovid, you're going to have a problem. And you also have a limit to how much you can enclose with such a type of a fence. So that's something which has to be asked at a point in time. You'll ask that question. Front porch. Just a front porch, if it has three sides and it has a roof, and the roof is flat, it is mutter to carry in your front porch without any other. If so, you have the house is one, and you have something on the two sides, and the roof in the front comes out flat, so you can carry in your front porch. If the roof comes out in a slant, the bottom part is straight, so there's what to talk about. If the two sides are open, even though there's this post there, you can't carry it on your front porch.
So our carports are not...
Yeah. Your carports are not permitted to carry it. Right. Okay. So that's some things you'd want to address, Erev Shabbos.
I do have a question for you.
Yes.
if you have a slot in your door, and you have your doorpost, which is part of your house, and if you tie your key from the inside of your slot, you pull it out, you stay inside the doorpost. Can you do that?
You stay inside the doorpost, because the key never leaves beyond the doorpost.
Right.
Forget about you. The key never leaves beyond the doorpost.
Mm-hmm. Stick your hand in the thing, pull out the string with the key. And then
we all know where he is.
What? You want to come into my house and eat my Shabbos food? Go right ahead.
Okay. It's not your Shabbos food I want.
You can't carry the other stuff out. It doesn't really matter. And then, so it's staying totally underneath that, the
if it's totally underneath the frame, the door frame, it would be permitted. But there are certain cases with limitations of exera. We're afraid that you might continue to carry it further, pull it further with. So, okay. So there is a lot of different issues when it comes to clothing, which we live in a world with world of living with an eruv. So that's we're not so aware of. So let's go through some of them. So. First question is, let's say you have a garment which has reserve buttons on it, a reserve button sewn inside. Shirts, jackets, dress, and there's reserve buttons inside, right? So why don't they have like something sewed in over here like that? So that's a machlokes in a halacha where you're allowed to wear those on Shabbos when there's no air, because they're not really there for the bag at this point in time. So it's an extra item that you're carrying which has no purpose. So it's a machlokes in halacha. Rav Moshe Zatzal was Matiritz. Rav Shlomo Zalman held it was Osir. So it's best not to be in that situation if you could. Okay, let's say you have loose buttons.
Keep one shirt
with that. So I what I do is I have my Shabbos shirt, I take off the reserve buttons. And that's why I don't have. That's my Shabbos shirt. So I keep track of it that way, because of the reserve buttons. And this way, in case there's a situation, so I have one shirt without. But he have it. You said my chorum
Marsha. Yes. Is it allowed? Like, if a person accidentally has those reserve buttons on their shirt and the air is down and it's on all their shirts, can't you just cut out the button on Shabbos? Or is that not?
I would not advise get involved in cutting off the buttons on Shabbos. Okay. There are some scenarios where in most cases it's us. Okay, you have a loose button. So, if the button is loose to the point that you can't use it to close the garment anymore at that point in time, it doesn't. If it looks nice, still the fact that it's there, so that's a valid button because it still looks nice. If it doesn't look nice and you can't use it as is, but you're planning to either remove it or sew it back on, you can't wear that garment on Shabbos. Without an error. Yes.
What about a dry cleaning tag?
I'm going to get to that.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. There's a fascinating coyote which Mishnah Berurah Pasim's like. If I have a loop to hang my coats, so inside my jacket I have this loop in the back, and the loop, one side of the loop comes off. So here is a counterintuitive halacha. If I don't care about that loop, it becomes insignificant in halacha, I'm not planning to fix it, so then I'm allowed to wear it. If I'm planning to fix it, so it's important to me, but right now it's not usable as is, it's considered something which you cannot wear on Shabbos because I'm carrying something of significance. Again, if it becomes useless to you, you don't care about it, you're not planning to fix it, you can wear it. If you're planning to fix it, but right now it's not usable, so you have an extra thing stuck in your garment, which is not usable, which is important, so you cannot wear that on Shabbos. Okay, from there you go to the cleaner's tags. So that's a chayotim, which it's based on a gemara. The gemara gives a case of a person sits is one of the sits is Torah on Shabbos. So if you have your little kid, you have your little boys, it sits is Torah on Shabbos, right? So you're going to fix that. Bemil, you have these strings there which are not usable because it's not a valid sitzes. So you can't wear that garment on Shabbos because that's the gemara says. So from that idea, we extrapolate to anything which it's important enough to you that you want to fix it, but it's not usable as is. It has significance, then you can't wear it. So if I have the person has the tags on still from when he these boys walk in, they still have the tag on, with the price tag, right? So most people are going to remove the price tag. So they want the price tag off. So it's significant enough to them that they're going to remove it. Then you can't wear that on Shabbos. There'd be no way. Cleaner's tags. So if it's something which you normally remove, you don't like them there, you normally remove them, then you can't wear them on Shabbos. If, however, you don't mind, you always leave them there, you don't mind that they're there, so then they're bolted to the bag, and you could wear them on Shabbos. Again, it's counterintuitive, right? There's some, that's the logic. There's a logic behind it.
If you're not
makbid, so then you can wear it.
And if you are, can you ask someone who's not makbid to take it off?
No, I'm not talking about makbid to remove it. I'm talking about makbid that you mind it on your garments.
Yeah, because you can't do it. No, I was thinking.
Now, this next question: can you tear a cleaner's tag on?
I was going to say the plastic. Can you break the plastic?
The tag
has that plastic piece.
Like on a new garment.
No.
Well, that's how they do some of the cleaner tags.
All the cleaner tags is plastic.
Cheap rack
hand. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with it. I'm not so sophisticated.
It's the same type. Not
if it's a monofilament. If it's a monofilament, you can cut it. Okay. Okay.
Is that a plastic piece?
That's a plastic piece you can cut.
Even on new clothing? I mean, clothing that's a new type of tag?
That's what Rabbi Rangel is.
Yes. Now here's one.
You can use a scissor for that.
Yes.
You can use a scissors for that.
Over the garbage.
Yeah, it's mukhsa. Once you drop it, it's mukhsa.
Over the garbage, you can't touch it.
It's mukhsa. I would just leave it on the floor.
Okay. Fine. So here is a challenging one in Halacha: an ID bracelet, hospital ID bracelet. So a hospital ID bracelet is a big argument in Halacha whether that's mukhsa to wear on Shabbos.
Well.
So that means a situation where a person would have, let's say, their baby is in the hospital and they need that bracelet to get in, they should really say that for Shabbos, because going out and coming back is going to be, it's very difficult to say that it's permitted.
But what about within the hospital itself?
And hospitals do not need a Eruv Chatzeres.
Is it a problem if there's an Eruv or only if there's no Eruv?
It's only a problem if there's no Eruv, right? Okay. The Gemara goes to a whole list of different types of jewelry which are permitted for women and not permitted for women. The minhag nowadays is to allow women to go out with their jewelry, and this is the language of the Shulchan Aruch is we're not moichin b'yadam, we do not protest. Okay. If you have crumbs in your pockets, again, the logic is going to be, if you don't care that the crumbs are there, you're allowed to go out. If it bothers you the crumbs are there, you would want to remove them, so then you cannot go out for it. Okay, so now, here's an interesting scenario. You're walking, and you get a pebble in your shoe. Or a little rock in your shoe. So since you're mocked by that, it's bothering you, so then you can't walk any further. You have to remove it. Okay. A cane. So that's not the case to this crowd here, Baruch Hashem, and maybe to their grandparents. So a person who cannot walk without a cane is allowed to walk with a cane on Shabbos. A person who can't, even in his home, needs a cane to get around. That cane is part of his normal walking. He's allowed to wear we walk with a cane on Shabbos outside in Rosh Hashanah. However, a person who at home could go without a cane just to get out needs a cane, cannot go out with a cane. Yes?
That was a question.
Okay.
Okay, so what about a wheelchair?
Well, we're going to get to strollers and wheelchairs. Okay. Okay. So, keys. Keys. We have some more clothing articles, and then we'll get to keys, and then we'll go to strollers and kids. Okay. Something which is made to protect the body is permitted to wear. So a woman wants to put some type of rain bonnet on for her to keep her shaitel dry. So if the goal is just to protect the shaitel, doesn't protect the body. So your goal is to protect the garment, that's a problem. But since most women's rain bonnets also protect their body, it's not a problem. A man's rain hat, you know, the good old rain hats, those plastic covers on the rain hats, the main purpose of the rain hat was to protect the hat, not the person. The person was protected by the hat. The rain hat is, the rain cover is made to protect the hat, not the person. So that is a major machloek, is whether those are mutter or not. If you went to Minnick Baltimore, you know the 7 mile market bags are definitely usher to wear when there's that's no tzad heter. Wearing galoshes over your shoes, So they also protect the feet also, besides the shoe, so that's going to be mutter. Let's say little kids, it's irrelevant. They can't get their boots on until you put plastic bags over their shoes. Like, sometimes the shoes get stuck inside the boots, so you put plastic bags on the shoes to get the boots on. So those plastic bags are a problem. A hood is mutter, even if it's you're not wearing the hood. Once it's attached to the garment, so it's permitted. You're allowed to, if it's zippered on, buttoned on, etc., you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, and then you can go with that. A belt. Do I need to close my belt? I'm carrying the belt. So if the belt is attached to the garment, it's sewn on, at some point it's sewn on, it's not a problem. If it's detached, but it's just through the loops, that's a machlokes.
What if you always close your belt like that? Somebody that just walks out and leaves their whole car.
Well, if you close it, it's fine. It's no problem. If you close it, it's not a problem. The question is, can you wear it not closed? Oh.
What about for fashion? Like a lot of the maternity clothes have a belt that some women don't use, but they just tie it in the bag.
If it's made for fashion, then it's mutter. Okay.
Okay.
A teeth. People. A person has a retainer. They wear in their mouth. And they want. So that's mutter to wear. That's part of the surf of the body. That's mutter to wear. Glasses, eyeglasses, contact lenses, or mutter. Sunglasses, unless a person needs them for refuah purposes, the person should not wear them. Reading glasses. If you don't need them for walking, you just need them for reading. You can't carry them on Shabbos. You can't wear them on Shabbos. Wearing a jacket over your shoulders without putting your arms in the sleeves. So if that's a normal thing to do in that area, that's permitted. Gloves are mutter to wear. There's some people which have the chumrah on gloves because since the derech to take them off when you meet somebody, you might forget and walk. But you know, my secret, the gloves are mutter. A watch which is worn ornamentally is mutter, which means that, and the definition of halach of ornamentally means if the watch would stop working, would you still wear the watch? So it's this gorgeous diamond encrusted gold watch. I don't care if it's working or not. I'm wearing it as a piece of jewelry. So that is mutter. If I'm only wearing it because I need to know what time it is, so that's that. Most person can hold the zoser. Okay, hearing aids. Those are mutter. Okay, that's for clothing. Keys. So the keys become, of course, a big challenge when it comes to when the Arab is down, what to do with your key. The best way is to have a key belt. A key belt should be made in such a way that the key is an integral part of the belt. It has some function in the belt. So some of the belts have that you can actually remove, let's say, part of the buckle and use the key as that which catches and holds the two sides of the belt together. So if that would be used like that, that would be the best way to have a key belt. And of course, they sell them nowadays. You can buy them. You know, has the space to put your key. You know, kosher. Belt.com or something like that. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just making it up. Yes.
The belt doesn't have to actually hold up your pants or anything.
The belt has to have a function. You can't, you know, it has to, in other words, you can't wear two belts one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. You can wear a belt in your pants, close your jacket, put it over your jacket. You can wear a jacket and put it over your coat. But you can't put two belts around your pants.
But it could also be for fashion, right?
For a woman, it could be for fashion, right?
Oh, for a man, it can't be fashion?
I don't think so. Unless it has to be fashionable. Now, what about a tie clip key? So the person says like this: the ones which are made out of precious metals, there's what to be made on, because those are, you know, those are, the ones which are not made out of precious metals. It's very difficult to be made on them because the only people which wear those things. Is people who need them to open their doors, not because they wear it for ornament. It's not really an ornamental type of a thing, which is normally worn ornamentally. See, if it's precious metal, probably precious metal ones you don't usually use, want to use in your door key. I have a gold. If I have a gold key, you know, I'm not going to be using it to open my door, right? So, but the other ones, it's very difficult to see a heter in them.
Reverend Rangel, many years ago, my parents had a pin made out of the house key. It was a decorative pin.
My mother would wear. If it's decorative enough that she would wear it on a Tuesday to a chasna, then yes, it's an ornament. It's a piece of jewelry. But it's the only way she can use it, because on Shabbos when we need a key, we're going to use it. So your goal is the key, not the ornamental.
Okay.
That's the problem. That's the challenge. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, you have these combination locks. You know, they have the Shabbos locks. You know, the type of things they make. Not that I have one, but you know, theoretically, that would solve the problem. Okay, children. So let's let's assume that we know before Shabbos that that the Erev is down. What'll be a case where the person finds out in the middle of Shabbos as they're outside with their kid and their stroller what to do? We'll get to that. But so you can't put a child in a stroller, even though the child is able to walk on their own, and there's nothing else in the stroller, so they're not carrying anything in the stroller. The only thing you're carrying is the child, and the child is able to walk on their own, but when the child is in the stroller, it's a problem. It's only derabbanan, because there's a concept in halacha called chai nosis atzmoi, so therefore we might create certain kulas based on that, and we'll see in a second what that is. Okay, a child is able to walk on their own, and is staging a sit-in, right? Right? That never would happen, right? Of course, right? So, if you can get the child to the point that you could pull them along and they're moving their feet, it's mutter to do that. If they're going to drag their feet, you cannot do that. You cannot pull them if they're not moving their feet. That's considered you're carrying them. Okay. Now, let's say in a situation where you're dealing with what's called a carmelis. So, let's digress for a second and define there are four halachic areas for comes to Shabbos and coming to the malacha of Hitzah or carrying in Rishas Aram, etc. So there's what's called Rishas HaYachid. Rishas HaYachid is a area which is enclosed. It has to have an enclosure which is at least 10 tefachim high, which is not very tall. And it has to contain within an area which is at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is 12 inches by 12 inches, which is not very significant. And that's considered Rishas HaYachid. Rishas HaYachid can be an enclosure. Rishas HaYachid can be a post. The post is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and it's 10 tefachim high. So that's Rishas HaYachid. Right? If it's less than that, it's not considered Rishas HaYachid. There is Rishas HaRabim, which is an area which is made for the purpose of people walking, and it's 16 amos wide. These terms are defined in the second page of the handout.
Sorry. That would be me.
Okay. So Rishus HaRabim is an issur d'oraisa to carry there more than four amos, more than six, seven feet. So I need to get this kid home. I need to figure out how to get this kid home. There's a third area which is called a carmelis. Carmelis is an area which is only mirabonim prohibited. Either it's a street which is less than 16 amos wide, less than 24 feet wide, or it's an area which is not made for flow of traffic. It's say a park or something of that sort. A front yard which is not enclosed, all those things, that's a carmel. So I have my kids sitting in my front yard and the child is crying their heart out and they refuse to come inside. Okay? So I have no way to get the child inside without picking the child up and bringing them inside. I'm either going to drag them inside, which is usur, or in the care of them inside, which is usur. So if it's in a case of a carmelis, which means it's not in the street, it's not on the sidewalk next to the street, but it's on a front lawn or it's in a park, so then I'm allowed to be makel in a case where there's no way to get that child inside, or Marshall, you can pick the child up and bring him inside. Because you're dealing with the child, a child is able to walk on their own, so therefore it's chayinus, it's atzmos, it's only the rabbanon. The carmelis is the rabbanon. It's to the rabbanon, so welcome to the tsar of the child, you can be makel. Okay. You want to pick up the kid because you need to get home more quickly, that's not permitted. Right? Well, you know, you promise somebody you'll be there in time for this meal. That's not, but you're doing because of the tsar of the child. The heter is because it goes around the tsar, not the tsar of the parents, but the tsar of the child, right?
What if it's pouring rain?
So if the kid's bothered by it, so then it's mutter. If the kid's not bothered by it, it's also.
Snow just won't do it.
Right? So it depends on the kid. You know, some kids love sitting in the rain in the front lawn, you know, that the parent might be bothered by it, but not the kid. Now, what about by the streets? So if the street is not a wide street, the street is some of the side streets, they're two-lane streets, so they're not 24 feet wide, so the same had to. What about on a sidewalk? See, if the sidewalk is adjacent to the street, the sidewalk and the street are synonymous. It's all counted. That's a part of, it's made for the flow of traffic. There's foot traffic and there's car traffic. It's all called the flow of traffic. If there is a tree lawn between the streets And the sidewalk, we look at the sidewalk and the tree, and the street is separate. Because the tree went alone is not made for walking on. So there's the street, which is made for going. There's a sidewalk made for going. And those are two independent things. And the sidewalk is not wide enough to be considered a Rishon LeRav. It's a Carmelis. So, yeah, on our Kola, where you have certain parts, you're right next to the street. The sidewalk is right next to the street. That's going to be part of the street. You have a place where the sidewalk is separate from the street. So there, you know, that's would be Mutter. Again, the same Heter, because of the Tzar of the child. So it's two Drabonans. That's all about a child is able to walk on their own. So there's two Drabonans. The first Drabonan is because a child which can walk on their own, there's a concept of the Lacha called Chai Noses Atzmai. A living being can carries himself, which means that doesn't apply to somebody who's ill and cannot walk on their own. Doesn't apply to somebody who a baby which cannot walk on their own. And it's a Carmel, there's a second Drabonan from Makom Tzar, you can be Mako. That's talking about a Jew doing it. Okay. What about that doesn't work, right? You don't have that option. So let's say you're very far away and the child is not able to walk. So it's going to be too tiring for the child to walk. So if you have two people, you use the heter called Pachas Pachas B'Dalad Amos. You will go less than Dalad Amos, less than 7 feet, stop, transfer to the child to another person, and that goes back and forth. In a situation where you only have one person, you would do the same thing. Go less than 7 feet, stop. Go less than 7 feet, stop, etc. You have to be very careful with that. You're dealing in a place where there's... You might be dealing with the rices, depending on the situation. Okay. That's all talking about the Jew doing it himself. If you have a child with you, who you could ask to push the stroller or carry the child, so that would be preferred in halacha over that's not gonna be such a great answer. Okay, let's stay away from that for now. The details of how to do that are too complicated, so let's stay away from that. If you're very close to the end of Shabbos, and there's no real need to get inside, except because it's getting dark, but it's not like a kid is sick or hungry or needs to use the bathroom, whatever it is, and you need to clean them, there's no real tzarach, so the best thing is just wait and deal with it until afterwards. Okay. Asking a non-Jew to do this. So, in a case where there is, it's a case where it's a rabbinic area, it's a Carmelis, and there's a need for the child. So you allow to ask, have a non-Jew push the stroller for you, bring the child inside, or carry the child, bring the child inside. That'll be mutter. To have a non-Jew push somebody in a wheelchair or in a stroller, the person wants to go to shul, and they want to, there's no Erev, and they want to have a non-Jewish person push them from their home to the shul. So this is a Rebbeinu Zatzal held it was usher, and Shirush Avzichus brings for Shabbos Amun that it's mutter. So I had the situation when the Erev was down, the last days of Sukkot, and somebody called me Erev Yom Tov, said the Rebbeinu Zatzal holds it's usher. So on the first day Yom Tov, they came to me, I looked at Shirush Avzichus and they said that's mutter. I said that's true. He doesn't say that's mutter. Rebbeinu Zatzal held it was usher. So I think that's the standard we've been doing. It's machlokes, and we're going to go with that. Let's say in a situation where you have a family doesn't have food for Shabbos. They're right after all the meals. They don't have anything in their cupboards. Their mother's cupboards are bare. They don't have enough time before Shabbos to put up anything, any food. They find out right before Shabbos, and they're invited out. The problem is, of course, they have a child which is child which needs to go by stroller. So if you could prepare food for yourself beforehand, there's not going to be any aids to have a non-Jew do this for you. But there are persons who would say in a situation like that, where a person would be left without any, in other words, the goal basic analysis maybe is an issue, but the Surah Shabbos, a person should have food for Shabbos, we'd be makel to have a non-Jew push the stroller for to the family is there. Now, there's really two ways, you know, you need a non-Jew for two directions. So if you can find a way to do it with, only for one direction, you're mechuyav to do that. You're walking on Shabbos and you know the Erev is down. And you see somebody walking on Shabbos with a stroller. That means they didn't realize the Erev is down. So do you tell them that the Erev is down? Right? So if it's somebody which you believe will listen to the halacha and do the halacha properly at that point in time with what is required, so then you tell them. If not, you don't tell them. Okay? Because in general, we're dealing with cases which are drabonans, and therefore, you don't have a key to tell them. If you're walking in Shabbos, you find something in your pockets. It's a complicated area of halacha. It really deserves a longer conversation. I don't want to try and do it in the time allotted. It depends if the basic point you want to know is that the first thing you want to know is do not stop. But don't keep walking, which means walk in place. Keep walking around in the same small area. Don't go any further until you figure out what to do. Okay? Right. Now, why? Because halacha says the definition of a malacha of the malacha of Hitzor and Shabbos, or the malacha of carrying four amas and Shazrabim, has three parts. It's the picking up, it's the transporting, and it's the placing down. Halacha says when you stop, it's equivalent to putting it down. As soon as you stop, you put the item down. So you've completed the malacha. Of course, most people say, oh, vast, how can I stop? How can they stop? Right? That's like the first thing you need to train yourself is, no, don't stop. Because otherwise, as soon as you've done a malacha by stopping. So you don't want to stop. So if a person, as they're going back and forth without stopping, like you know, they're not allowing themselves to stop, so if at that point in time, they haven't realized that they have not stopped from the time they left their home. They run back to where they came from. And that's